Hello, everyone. Welcome to FIG, a podcast where we have conversations about pornography. Our conversations will focus on personal experiences with pornography, its effects personally, and the ways we have succeeded or failed to stop using. Today, I have a friend I grew up with. You can find him on Instagram at JohnDima57. He has a bachelor's in sports management and is on a career path looking to join the NFL. Next year, he plans on trying out for the Omaha Beef team in Nebraska. Please welcome my friend, John Dima. What's up, boy?
Dude, baby. What it do, hey, man. Baby?
Not much. Thanks again for being here. So I know you kind of, I talked to you about what the plan was for this, the idea was, but I guess I'll just share a little bit of the idea beyond the intro. So a while back I had, an idea came up for this podcast. It was after I had just, after I had just looked at porn. It was so stupid. I was like, what's wrong with me? You know, I can't believe I did it again. You know, it's, and the idea of like, oh, well, maybe you should do a podcast came up. And, I was like, well, that's interesting. And I thought it was weird because, I was like, well, you know, I'm still messing up on this thing. Why would I, if I'm still struggling, why would I even try and take on something like that? And so, you know, it was in the back of my mind and I just kind of left it there. I don't remember how long later, but I did end up, looking at porn again and the idea came up again. And I was like, okay, that's interesting that the idea came up again. But I still stand by that same idea where it's just like, you know, I need to get my crap together if I'm even going to remotely try to do something like this. And eventually time went on and the idea continued to pop in my head and it wasn't only when I had messed up. So I thought that that was even more interesting because it's like, okay, this thing is not leaving me alone. And I keep on thinking about doing this thing. And so, it's been, gosh, I don't know. Do you remember how long ago it was when I texted you? Like the first time?
The first time? I think probably around like, oh man, I know it was last year.
Right.
Was it like,
oh, do you know if it, was it before Christmas?
Before Christmas, I think around the time you came, the last time you were here.
Okay. Okay. So it, that probably was close to Christmas time. And yeah. So I don't know if you've seen, I'm sure you've seen a bit of a hint of it as I've grown up. I'm very impulsive when it comes to ideas I have. So like if I have a short video that I want to make or I want to start doing something, I just jump on it right away. And I can do a decent job on most things, but this was one of those things where I felt a bit of an obligation to slow down. But then also I felt I was fine with slowing down, which was also interesting because you know, like you know, you're supposed to slow down when you buy a car, but you're never okay. Like in, when we bought our car, we bought it, I think in 1 day or 2 days of shopping with it for it. So, like I knew that I needed to slow down for this thing, but I also was fine with it. Like the fact that weeks went by and months went by and I hadn't bought a microphone was, very interesting for me because usually, like I said, I'm very impulsive. So, the fact that the idea stuck around, I had talked to some friends, they thought it was interesting. And, I just reached a point where, I felt like the idea kind of faded. And it was there, but I was just like, I don't know if I should do it. You know, like what's the point? Well, like not like what's the point, you know, I think that it's important to have this conversation with people. But there wasn't like a draw for me to do it. But then I like another question popped up in that very same moment where it's just like, well, why would you not feel like you have to do it? It's like, I don't know, you know? And so, so I just thought that that was interesting that I almost felt like not like guilt, but like a burden or a responsibility. I hate kind of coining that phrase, but you know, it felt like there was something more than just like, there's something important about this conversation. I don't know if someone else is doing it. I'm not trying to say that I'm the only one doing this. But at least in my experience, I haven't had very many people talking about what it's been like with porn. It's just been, you know, it's always so awkward. Like even just with you and me, like we've had conversations in the past where it's just like, oh, how you doing? And it's like, it's not too awkward because we're pretty close, but it's definitely not a normal conversation.
Yeah, it's not the first thing I want to say to you, you know, like,
right,
in conversations, like, make it feel like a taboo, you know, like,
right,
a porn, like, you know, like, feels
right,
like, you know, disgusting when you're like trying to talk to people about it and stuff. So yeah. I understand completely, you know?
Right. So yeah, that I don't know if someone else, I know that there's like a fair amount of podcasts that at least are on iTunes with the tagline porn. Be careful. You know, some of it isn't always uplifting. There were some that were edifying that I found that, you know, so there was a one called Porn Free Radio, and it's this gentleman who was talking about his tips on and just encouragement for people on how to get free. There was another one that essentially had that same idea. I didn't go through all of them, but I, at least in the small amount of things that I looked into, which I guess to be fair is two, and besides reading titles and descriptions, I didn't find any with conversations. And even still, even if there were ones with conversations, I think that it would be helpful for us as friends to be able to talk about it and just to be able to discuss the fact that this seems to be something that haunts a lot of people. And it seems like not too many people actually bring it up, and let alone are willing to consistently bring it up. So, so that's essentially where my desire of doing this comes from. I don't know where it's going to go, but I wanted to kind of open up that conversation with my friends, and I guess whatever comes from thereafter, just because I have found it very, how do you say it? You know, like, you have you ever set up an accountability partner?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. What's that like? What was it like for you? Like, I mean, have you had good experiences with that?
It was a good experience, but at the same time, it was awkward for sure, you know, like, when I didn't, like, tell him, like, yo, can you be my accountability partner for this and that, all that kind of stuff. But, like, he helped me out because, like, he wasn't, like, you know, a judgmental person at all. You know, obviously, yeah, trust person, you'd be accountable. But, like, I trusted him. So, like, it was a good, I guess, like, a good dynamic duo when I was with this guy. So, when I was, you know, struggling at the time.
Right.
But yeah.
So How long did it last with, like, did you ever have to rotate between people, or did you stick to one partner for a pretty long amount of time?
It was one partner.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was never the case with me. And partly that, I know that that was partly my own weakness, because I have found myself almost wanting to shuffle to a new leader whenever, or new partner, when I've messed up so many times. You're just like, oh, maybe I should start with someone else. just because it's so embarrassing, you know, you tell someone you messed up, or you come up to someone and you're like, hey, you know, I really want an accountability partner. I'm trying to get free from this thing. And then, you know, they're really happy, you know, you're like, oh, that's really good of you. But then you tell them you messed up and they're like, oh, you know, good job for telling me. But then, yeah, like, you know, how many times do you tell them you messed up before it's just embarrassing, because you're just like, geez, like, what? So for me, I'd say at least five. It could be more. I'm just kind of guessing, but that's interesting that you kind of kept it along. Over how much time did you end up having that same partner, at like the same person, man, keeping you accountable?
I gotta say, like, sophomore year till junior year.
Is that high school or is college? College, okay.
Yeah. So 1 year, honestly, I had it.
That's still not bad.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. So what has it been like for you in the last few years? Like, has it been something that, like, I guess, what's porn been like for you in the last couple of years?
The last couple of years, I'll tell you what. The last time I, you know, watched it, I gotta say around 2018.
Jeez, man.
Like, actually watched it. And then, like, I don't know what it was with me, dude. Like, it just kind of, like, just slowly faded away for some reason, you know? I was like, in my mind, it's like, okay, you know what? I got to, like, grow out of this, you know? Like,
right.
But for me, I just think, like, when I'm watching porn, like, I felt like that's, like, a high school thing you do, you know? Like, that's, like,
right.
that's, like, oh, you know, I can't be doing this stuff when I'm, like, in college or something like that.
Right.
And so, like, I might, like, I felt like I had to, like, grow out of it. And so, like, honestly, it just faded away. Like,
wow.
It's weird about how it happened. Like, when I watched it, like, you know, the last couple of times in 2018, I'm like, I don't really have much, you know, much desire to watch this anymore.
Right.
You know? So it was like, it was super weird to me. That's, I don't know what happened.
Interesting. Like, so did you have to, like, so it just faded. Like, it wasn't like, did you have any, like, was there months as you realized that it was difficult to stop, or did it just absolutely slowly fade over time?
It was a couple of times fumbled, but like, it was like, okay, when I watched it, like, okay, that's okay. You know, it was like,
wow.
Anything, you know?
Right.
But like, I still obviously struggle with, like, you know, sexual thoughts in my mind every time, like,
right.
Instagram picture comes up, like,
right.
Like, I'd be like, oh, look at this, you know? But like, other than that,
right.
Like, me watching porn itself was like, it's just so weird to me, honestly.
Right. Wow. That's interesting. That's, like, honestly, that's very neat. Like, I've had the same thought come with, like, how gross it is. Like, you know, like, oh, are you going to do this as you're growing up? But for me, it kind of, the thought process has, like, extended further into the future. So I think it was last year I had that thought where I was like, I was 2 years into my marriage, and, you know, I didn't want to mess up even once in my marriage. I was just like, you know, I can't be looking at porn if I'm married. And I knew that it wasn't going to be easy when I got married. Like, I kind of went into it like, I was like, I know that just because I can finally have sex, I am not going to just magically stop wanting to watch porn. But even still, I was like, okay, it'd be cool if I could get married and not, like, and not have looked at porn. And so I don't know. I can't remember how long I made it into the marriage. It might have honestly been a few weeks. But I remember, you know, going on 3 years into my marriage, I was like, geez, 2 years, you're still doing it. And I remember thinking, like, okay, so are you going to be 45 and you're still, you know, looking at porn? And when I thought of that, I was like, oh my God, you know how gross that is? Like, geez, man, like, what are you going to be 45 and you're still like, you're still getting one on because you're married and you have kids and you like, geez, what's wrong? It's gross. Just thinking of it from that way. And I even, like, you know, I kind of thought about the same thing when it came to masturbation. It was like, okay, well, what if it was just masturbating and no porn? And I still think that it's kind of gross. It's just like what it does feel like something that a child, you know, you're growing up, you're 15. It's just like, yeah, like, mm-hmm. yeah. But when I realized that it had been, you know, I started this when I was probably 14. I think that was when I had my first exposure. And I was like, gosh, that's at least 10 years. That's 10 years of my life. So that means, let's just say that this happens again, another chapter of 10 years, I'd be 35. And it's still gross. And mm-hmm. So I had that epiphany, but it didn't, like, I don't want to say it did nothing, like, but it's still very difficult for me to have tried to step away from it. And so I don't know. I find that fascinating that idea kind of sparked you being able to wean off. What do you think, there was anything else that helped you wean away from it, or was that idea pretty much the core of it?
That was kind of like the main idea, like the main core, but like, and also, you know, I got caught the first time too.
Really?
Yeah.
The first time you ever looked, or when, like, what do you mean first time?
I got caught by
okay.
my sister. Like, I've been doing this since. I've been doing this. You just think about that? Yeah.
Dang. That's crazy. Were you, like, did they just walk into your room, or were you in the kitchen?
I think I was helping my mom doing something, and then all of a sudden, one of my sisters, I was in the computer room in like little the room we have. I left, and my mom asked me for something. I helped her out for like a good 20 minutes, and then my sister walked in, and she said, "Jonathan, come here real quick." I'm like, "What did I do?" And then I went over, and it was like the picture of Kim Kardashian. I'm like, oh dang.
So did you think you closed it, or did you just not think someone was going in there?
I thought I closed it at the time. Bro,
but I've had such bad luck growing up in that
town. Really?
I'm like overly paranoid. Like when I was a teenager, we had the Apple TV, and it was like the first or second generation of it. And so there was YouTube, and you know, YouTube doesn't allow stuff, but you know, when you're 15 and you're just exposed first, I mean, there is stuff on YouTube, but it's sometimes hard to come by. But when I was, you know, I didn't care. Like I found what I found, and I was watching it, and I pushed clear search history. Like I pushed it like 5 times just to be safe. And then my dad was like, "Gino, can you come downstairs?" And he came down, and then the list of everything that I watched was there. I was like, "What the frick, bro? I pushed clear history." Like it's not even the fact that I got caught. It's just like, if I was stupid enough to not clear it, I deserve to get caught. But I cleared it. So this is not fair. And it happened to me at least twice. And I was just like, I'm never using the Apple TV again. Like, okay. Wow. So you said, so she found it. So obviously that's embarrassing. How did you even respond?
Oh, first of all, it's a funny story, but I don't think my mom wants me to say it because it's kind of embarrassing on her part, whatever.
Okay.
It's kind of, she's hilarious. I'll tell you that after later.
Okay.
But like, sorry, what was the question again?
So when your sister found out, how did you respond when she was like, "Hey, come here"? Like, what did you say?
Oh, my heart just dropped. My mom, everything that's felt heavy on me. I'm like, right. I'm like, oh my gosh. Right. So I like pushed out of the way, and like and I was trying to like, you know, delete it and stuff like that right in front of her. I'm like,
you should have been like, "What do you look at? Why did you look this up? Why are you showing this to me? Don't you know I'm a guy and I'm sensitive to this? Why are you showing me this picture?"
Thinking, what the heck, man?
Oh man!
Like, yeah, I was like, right in front of her. I'm like, "What was that do?" And she, basically, she's like, "Are you gonna tell mom or I will?" I'm like,
"Oh dang! How old were you at this time?"
What was I? So called junior year of UNO.
Okay.
4 years ago. So I was 20.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you remember what age you got exposed to it? Like, what was your first?
So like, I don't remember the exact day, but I was in middle school around the 7th grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. It's really crazy.
Here's the thing though. Like, it was always an on and off thing, you know, like there would be like months I wouldn't do it, and then there'll be months I would do it, you know, like it was never like it's something where like a 10-year thing. It was like 5 months, no, 5 months, yes. And then like it was like weird to me. I don't know, man. But
so did it ever get to the point where it reached beyond, like, more consistently than that, or was that pretty much your pattern, just like once every now and then?
I will say that senior year of high school was probably a lot more. Was consistent, like pretty much almost every night and stuff. So okay. And then grew, and then just 2 years later, and then just disappear. Like, just stop, pretty much.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That's very...
Like, my story is so, like, weird, honestly. Like,
right.
From start from the finish, you know, but...
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's very interesting. Because, you know, I've heard a story from a guy called Todd White. Have you ever heard of him?
No.
He's a white guy with dreads. Not that it matters that he's white with dreads, but it's just unique. Yeah. But he was sharing the fact that when he became a Christian, it just disappeared.
Really?
And that was really discouraging for me because I was just like, well, that's nice. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's definitely not the case with me. And so I found it really, really discouraging because it was like, I don't really know. Because I just feel like it kind of put that question in my head. Well, does that mean that I'm just not doing Christianity right? And so that was really hard to not take personally. Not like genuinely hard. Like I did kind of move on by it. It didn't haunt me every day. But it was just one of those things where like you hear it and you're just like, you almost want to be bitter towards that person because, yeah. Like, well, you know, you don't understand what it's like for me you don't understand what it's like to have to put discipline after discipline and failure after failure and admission after admission. Like, you don't understand that. You get to just say that it disappeared, which I don't think that there's no utility in that. Like, I think it's hard to not become bitter towards stories like that. And I think that that's a personal thing that we each have to wrestle with.
Yeah.
You know, like I can't become bitter with you. Like, and partly because you're my friend, I'm less prone to becoming bitter. But when it's a stranger and they tell you all of their success and how easy it was, you're just like, well, screw you. You know, you don't understand me. And, you know, and so that was tough for me. And, yeah, like the journey's been completely different on my end. So,
no, I feel you, man. Like, and I was the same boat with you, you know, like many years ago when somebody told me a story about like, and how their porn addiction to disappear on them. But honestly, it's like everybody's story is different, you know, like it'll be amazing to have Todd White's story, you know, or amazing, right. You know, but, and like, I hope the guy like doesn't happen, but like, you know, it might come back again, you know, like there might be a day be like, let me check out, you know, Pornhub real quick, you know? So like, right. So everybody's sort of different. Like this story is honestly still continue on, you know, like
right.
This addiction.
That's the one. I get it.
Like this addiction is going beyond with me until, you know, until the day I die. Like I'm not.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm not for certain, you know, like if. They'll come back again, you know, so.
Right. I think it's a good thing to keep that in mind. Do you have any like any sort of filters or protection on your end or like how do you go about trying to, do you feel like it's something that you have to protect yourself from or do you feel like you're at a spot where you're decent enough that you haven't felt the urge to have that?
Yeah. So like I never. No, never I did when back when I have accountability partner, but like I just gotta keep guard, honestly, like 24/7, you know? Like this might be like a pop up, which is stupid, you know, a pop up that would come randomly on my like computer or phone and stuff like that.
Right.
So like I just gotta like subconsciously be like, okay, nope, none of that stuff, you know. So like I don't have any like websites or anything like that, which is probably I should, you know, just in case, like, you know, like I said before, it could happen again, like be addicted again. But like, I just be subconscious of myself. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to try and like do that no more and stuff.
Right. But, so when the thought comes up, what is like, do you have like a, I don't know, like a remedy or do you just try and click out of it as much as possible or... Like, I guess what's the, so you said 2018, so I mean, that's a fair amount of time. So like, what has it been like for you? Like when a pop-up does come, like, do you, how do you handle that? Does the thought linger with you for a long period of time or,
yeah.
I don't know so if like, I'm asking
that. No, yeah, I would have like the thought process of like, oh, look at that, you know, like, right. Like that's, you know, like, that's a nice looker on there, you know. So it's right. Like that pop, the thought comes up like
right.
A good couple minutes or so, and then right. Like it just goes off my mind, honestly, after like mm-hmm. the last couple of minutes and stuff. So, mm-hmm. but yeah,
and it's really yeah, that's really. Fortunate. What would you say has been the do you have any things that you've done that you're most proud of, or like, or any like stories that like you didn't think that you would be able to walk away from but you still did? Like, was there ever a time that you were just, you knew that you were gonna mess up but you still didn't anyways?
Mm-hmm. So, it's not really a porn story, but, like, an actual, like, you know, sort of girlfriend and boyfriend thing.
Right.
So, do you explain it or to...
Sure, to, yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so, like, man, it's like 20... It was, like, last year of 2019, January, actually. So, like, I would have this... girlfriend way, we like each other, right? Like each other for a little, pretty long time, and I'll go to her house and stuff, watch movies, all kind of stuff, blah 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 blah. But we usually like at nighttime make out in her bed and stuff like that, and so like I would make out with her like every single time I was in her place, and not one thought popped up to my mind like, yo, I'm gonna try to like, you know, like have sex with her and stuff like that. Right. So it was, I don't know, man. It was the weirdest couple months of like me being with her, and that she really wanted to like, you know, like she wanted to have sex with me, but I didn't want to have sex with her.
Right. Which is a rare thing for a girl, yeah, exactly. Like the guy and the girl aspect of it.
Exactly. And then when things stopped, right. When things stopped, like she's like, yo, I kind of want to be done with this, you know?
Interesting.
And my mom was like, dang, I could have had sex with her. Right. So, like, I was like, a lot of yeah. crap, dude. Like, why not I say no this whole time, man? But after
how long did it take you to not regret it?
It took me a while, actually.
Really?
It took me, like, around that summertime, you know, we stopped talking to each other. And so, honestly, that whole summertime without talking, yeah, I regretted it until, like, that school year of... you know, of last year.
Wow. I've had that happen to me, with, there was a girl that I met in, went back when I was at Panda. Mm-hmm. We went to California, for the leadership training, and there was this girl that I met, and, I thought that, I mean, she was pretty, but she had a girlfriend, and I was really conflicted at the time when it came to spirituality. Like I wasn't ready to leave the church, but I wasn't fully devoted. Mm-hmm. And so there was a, the fact that she had a boyfriend was my biggest inhibitor. Like, mm-hmm. but we were spending a lot of time together on the trip. Mm-hmm. And there was one day where she and I watched, a movie together in the hotel room that we had rented out from Panda. And, all I could think about obviously was the fact that I was like in a hotel room with her, and I did have my roommate there. So, but he was knocked out. So I was just like, you know, we could be quiet. but I remember like, I didn't put my hand around her. I didn't hold her hand. I didn't try to kiss her. I don't know if it was fear of the fact that she had a boyfriend or if it was fear of the fact that she would say she had a boyfriend and would say no. That just sounded terrifying. I, when the trip was over, it like haunted me for like a year. I was like, Jesus, Gina, why did you not, what did you, you just sat there and you did nothing, you know, and it's like, it bugged the crap out of me. And so I know exactly that feeling, because you just like it, you know. And now, like, obviously, like, just in passing thought, there's always those, like, oh, those people are pretty. But there's, like, the fact that I got to be married to Nia Chan and didn't lose my virginity, not only, I don't know, I hate to say it's a miracle, because I'm not, like, that, like... I know my personality can be charming at times, and I've been told that I'm like, I'm remotely good looking. And I don't know how much of that is from the people that just like me, but that's the point is I, even with that, my awkwardness and my personal insecurities that I have always battled with when it came to talking with women have always just pretty much sabotaged any chance of getting lucky. So, so I don't know if it's a miracle or I'm just not as hot as I think I am, but most likely it could be both. Because you know, like when I left the church, I was really like, I wasn't like 100% sold on the fact that I was going to have sex, but I had told myself if the girl was pretty enough and we had a decent enough connection, I would be willing to. And there was like, so I went on Tinder, I went on like online dating sites, and gosh, man, I was like, I was really embarrassing. Like when it's really it, like the way that I handled the chatting was just terrible. Like did I ever tell you that I wanted to become president of the United States?
Never.
Did I? Before. Good, because it's stupid and I was 20. Like Jesus. But I was like, it was just, I don't know. I was going through this phase. So right when I moved to Sioux Falls, I had just left the church, obviously because I moved, but it wasn't just because of that time. There was the fact that it kind of coincided perfectly. It was just like, I had a lot of questions about the church and I didn't understand the spiritual thing. And so I left. And so then, while I was going through that, I had this God complex, and this was something that I experienced. I think partly because I was cultivated so young as a leader at church. You know, when you're 16 and they're like, "Oh, you're going to make a great leader." Yep. It got to my head, man. Like, did that ever happen to you? Like, I don't know. Like, do you feel like that you were ever given responsibility too young, or do you think that it?
Oh yeah.
What situations were that?
Oh yeah, when they kept telling me, "Oh, I see growth in you, I see leadership in you," I'm like 13 years old. Like, let me right. enjoy being like in middle school real quick, you know?
Right. So, did you ever take it on before you felt you were ready?
Oh no, no, no. I took it on when I was in college, but like okay. when I was like in that middle school age, or you know, middle school or freshman year of high school. I'm like, this is overwhelming stuff. Like, I won't think about that kind of stuff at all.
Gotcha.
So, like, I was like, nah, but I'm good with that.
Right. I was the opposite. I just grabbed onto it because I was so excited. I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, I've always loved talking to people, and the idea of having a stage and a microphone, it just intrigued me. And so when I left the church, the whole, like, I'm a leader thing didn't leave me, because it's like, oh, I'm big stuff. And it wasn't for nothing. You know, like, I got promoted to GM at 19. I was like constantly encouraged at the fact that for some reason, like I could communicate decently well. And so like, I had a lot of things going for me. And so it wasn't for nothing. It wasn't complete arrogance, but there was a lot of arrogance with it. And so when I left, I was struggling with like, okay, what am I going to do with my life that matters? And so of course the highest stage I could think of was like, well, you know, the presidency wouldn't be too bad. Like, I didn't even know anything about politics. I don't even know anything about politics now, but the amount that I know now compared to the amount that I knew then is embarrassing at the fact that I even had the thought of even trying to be president. So it's like, God, it's so narcissistic but I couldn't see it, because most of the time when you're narcissistic, you can't see it, which is kind of the curse of obviously your what do you call them, your blind spots. But so with that, whenever I was on the freaking internet trying to talk to girls, I would hey, how's it going, and I'd flirt with them for a little bit, but then I was like, I would tell them the things that I was dealing with as far as my insecurities of what I wanted to do with my life. It's just like, oh, I just feel stuck. You know, I feel I want to become the president of the United States, and I don't know what to do next. Bro, can you imagine this kid who's 20 years old in South Dakota is messaging you, and you're just a girl who's on Tinder, and he's just like, oh, yeah, I want to be president, and I'm just not there yet. It's like, gosh.
No response from the girl, so, ever.
literally. I would get so many just stop responses. And so, like, I remember there was one time I was messaging someone. We were messaging for quite a long time. Not a long time. For me, it was a long time. It was like 5 hours. So I was like, oh, my gosh, this is a good code. This girl isn't leaving. So then I told her my spiel, and I was just like, gosh, this is really nice to have someone actually listen to me. Because no one wants to listen to a 20-year-old baby. But she stopped responding immediately. And it was like – so it's like it's partly a miracle – at the fact that, you know, because I wanted to have sex, but then it's also just like I had so much stuff that I had to deal with personally that there's no chance that unless someone was just as desperate as me, I was never going to get some anyway. So I'm really grateful for the fact that when Nia Chen and I got married that we were both our firsts, but I honestly was at a point where I was open to the idea of it. So, yeah, I get that. So what, when you, do you think that, okay, so what was the reason that you didn't want to have sex? Like, why did you want to say no?
Oh man. So it was like, I had like, it's going to sound weird, but like the picture of like my mom, you know, like, I know that sounds weird, but like I had a picture of my mom, like, just like, dang, if she like knew about this stuff, then I like she would just kill me, you know, like she,
right.
She's all about like, obviously, you know, marriage of sex and all that kind of stuff. So like, but like when I just thought about that, I'm like, okay, I'm not doing any of that, but making out is good, but just no sex. So like I just had that thought in my mind every time I made out with her. So it was like, it was just super weird, like, thinking about my mom while I'm, like, making out with her, like, and I do that stuff.
That's funny. So,
but, honestly, like, it was interesting, you know? I had no game ever in my life, so, like, with me being with this girl, it was like, and could have opportunity to, like, be, like, you know, have sex with her, it just didn't happen.
Right.
Wow, that's definitely a miracle on my part and obviously God's part, but...
Right. I think for me, what I've had a lot of things kind of like that, not with the sex, just the sexual thing, but like, I think that there's a fear of the unknown, like that can kind of keep you out of dangerous water. So like I've never done drugs and I've never smoked, and I had never had sex before marriage, and I had my first drink at 21. Like you did too, right? You had your first, that's crazy, right? Where did we go?
In your house, in your apartment. We were at Dave and Buster's first, and then went to your place.
Okay, yeah. Was it downtown when I lived at the downtown apartment?
Yes. It was me there.
Okay. Do you remember what we had for drinks? I don't remember what we had.
You gave me like 60.
I gave you multiple shots, right?
Six different drinks, I think. It was like one purple swirly one.
Okay, yep, I remember that one. What is that? I don't even remember. But yeah, I know what one you're talking about.
Like, Vanique. The only one I like, what?
I think it's Vanique. It's Vanique? Like got the sparkly sugar. I could be wrong, but yeah, it's a sweet drink.
The only one I like was the Smirnoffs, and that was it. Give me
Was it were those was it vodka or was it like sweet bottle drinks?
Sweet bottle drinks.
Okay. That yeah. makes sense. Those are still my favorites. Not Smirnoff, but like those are my favorite types of drinks.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, so we that I had that same thing happen with me where like I had a bunch of I've nevers. And even still, like, you know, I've never done drugs and there's been a lot of question marks that I have experienced, like but I think that sometimes that fear of the unknown can actually be very beneficial because since I haven't crossed that line, it's easier for me to not cross that line. And I think that that makes sense just on the aspect of like your standard has not dropped, but once it drops, it's really hard to put it back there. You know, if you've gone this far, like why would you not go at least that far again? So like if mm-hmm. for you, like making out is where you've gone. So most likely that's going to be the easiest thing for you to get to. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's, I don't know. It's very interesting. I heard a story, like with the story of Cain and Abel, the fact that, Cain killed his brother, because his brother had a sacrifice that was accepted and his wasn't. And it's very interesting because the guy who was talking about it mentioned the fact that, you know, every time there's an ideal, it becomes your judge because it shows you everything that you're not. And, I think that that makes sense why, I mean, first of all, has anyone ever told you this? When I tell people that I had sex for the first time with my wife when I got married, no one believed me. Like, does anyone say that they don't believe you when you say that you're still a virgin? Like, yeah, I don't know how often it comes up in conversation, but.
Well, I know. So it's on and off. People believe me. Some people believe me and some people don't believe me.
Right.
So it's like go both ways, honestly.
I've had people before, like, so it was my coworkers and it's like, it's jokingly, but they were kind of serious where I was just like, yeah, Nia-Chan and I will, it's going to be our first. And they're like, no, it's not. It's just like, mm-hmm. well, okay. okay. you know, but it's just very interesting, but I think it's very strange at that fact because like, well, of course you're skeptical about it because you've done it. Like you've gone that far, so of course you don't believe it. Like, I think that there's something about like, and it's not to say that all like, I mean, for me personally, I do think that there's a benefit to the fact that I waited till marriage, to at least have sex. So I guess I'm biased. There's cause I do think that there's sometimes when people haven't done things, and it's not out of like a conviction, it's just out of a fear because they just haven't done it. Like I have a friend of mine who, like they won't drink and it has nothing to do with a conviction. It's just because they haven't drank and they've said, oh, well, I mean, I think it'd be kind of cool to say I haven't drank. And I had that same feeling about having a degree 3 years ago. I had never had a college degree. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go through the rest of my life without a college degree. It's just like, well, that's not even a goal. That's just like, what's the point in that? Like, why are you staking? Why was I staking a I will not for something that I've never done before? I think that, but point being, I think that there's a interesting aspect to the fact that when you like what it does to you when you've crossed a line that you admire, like, you know, cause like that same coworker who said, oh no, you've definitely had sex before. Like, I'm like, no, I didn't. He told me, he's just like, man, I wish that was me. And so, it's very interesting what it does to you when you have crossed that line and you see someone do it. Like sometimes it can turn into that bitterness like Cain and Abel, but, I don't know. It shows something that something still calls to you, that you, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. I just find it interesting that, people kind of make fun of it or don't believe you. And I don't know. I wonder if the reason they don't believe is because, well, they failed themselves as opposed to, I mean, what else would it be like?
You know? At this point, it's like, it's pretty much like non-existent, like to be a virgin, like right. in our age or even teenagers age, you know? So like even, you know, Christians, like any religion, honestly, like they'll be having sex before marriage. So it's like, at this point, it's like normalized right now. Right. So, you know, it's like, it's just.
Yeah. And now you're abnormal if you haven't had sex.
Exactly. So,
yeah. I tried arguing with some coworkers about that, like, just like, you know, because you should test drive your car before you buy it, you know, that mentality that people have. Mm-hmm. I get it. Like, it's not like the stupidest sense of logic ever. But my argument against that is the fact that if you've never had exposure to anything else, you wouldn't know that it was bad. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, you know, because then, you know, you could then argue like, well, it's still bad. You just don't know it's bad. So does that make you in a good spot or a bad spot? And it's just like, I don't know. If you're happy and you're not exposed to other ideas and you haven't been compromised, but turns out the guy is a bit too small, but you don't know it. Mm-hmm. Like, is that really a disadvantage? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that it's a disadvantage. I think that it's a disadvantage to have the multiple aspects of exposure. And I think that that's the disadvantage of pornography, because when you've looked at 1,000 women, you get to come up with 1,000 different things that are like, okay, well, you know, I like it this size, and I like it when they do this, and they make this noise. And so there's just this amalgamation of a fantasy that you get to put together that if you never would have been exposed to that, it wouldn't have crossed your mind for a girl to do that or for a girl to look like that. Yep. And so on the same sense with girls, whether it's through pornography or sleeping with other men, if you wouldn't have slept with 10 men, you wouldn't know that that was something that you would have preferred. And so I think that as much as I understand the logic of the fact that it's just like, oh, you should test drive your car, it's just like, well, no, if you've never driven a car, then you think that the car drives well when you get behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. As long as the car actually drives. And so in this case, as long as the person is capable of sleeping with you, then when you're married, you're going to think that it's sex because that's what it is. So as long as the body organs function, you're probably going to be fine. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. It's very interesting at the fact that, like, we do live in a culture where it's like, you're weird. Like, literally you're weird if you are a virgin. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, man. Like,
I know. It's, yeah, people are really surprised. They're like, yo, you haven't done that. I don't believe you. Right. Like, come on now.
Right.
But that's the world we live in now.
Right. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to think of another question. I think, do you have, so when it came to like your sexual purity and the, like same thing with pornography. Okay. I've got a good one. What makes it gross for you? Like when you were like, oh, what? I thought that this was something for high school kids. Like, and you kind of thought that it was gross. Like, what did you see in yourself when you realized that it was gross? Like, why was it disgusting to you?
So I don't know, man. I was like, when I was in college and stuff, and like doing it, like looking at porn, I just like thought about myself around, you know, 8 years old, you know, I went to eight years old. Like, am I still gonna be doing this stuff? Like, am I still gonna like have enjoyment when I'm like watching this stuff? Like,
right.
Like, as like, I'm still like have a, you know, a wife and stuff. And so like, I just felt like, you know, I guess bad. Like, I don't know. I just felt bad. Like, whoa, I can't think like this. I shouldn't think like this. Like, right, this shouldn't be part of me. Like this. First of all, when I got caught that time, like, though, I shouldn't be.
Right.
I shouldn't have like my, you know, sister, wife, or whatever, catch me like this. So like, I had to, like, I guess mentally like prepare myself and like just like stop it until like I said.
How long after you got caught did you really try to stop? Like, was it pretty much like, okay, I'm done, or did
I did not stop. Probably it took me a month until I came back on, and then like a full year I did it, and then like it just slowly just stopping. Like that, like that was pretty much it.
Was it fear of getting caught as you slowly stopped, or did you just did it genuinely just start fading?
Oh, not no, I no thing. Not me getting caught like was not like the stopping point at all. Like, I was easily like, all right, I can easily sneak through and get a quick look at this stuff. But it was just me of like, oh no, just me stopping. Like I said before, like I had like that time where like 5 months I'll do it, then the 6 months I'll stop. Like at that point, about after junior year, I was like, okay, I guess enough was enough until then. But but like I said before, like I'm not so certain if like this will come back again, you know. So like it's a it's amazing I haven't done since 2018.
Right.
Like it really is, but at the same time, like 2021 is a new year. And 2020 is like still 2020, so but
yeah, I'm sure Corona isn't helping people stay clean. when all you have to do is stay inside your house. Yeah, that is, see, I agree. Do you think that, so with the fact that you think that it's potential that it could come back, do you think that that's something that you should prepare for, as far as like doing things to make sure that you don't fall, or like what's your mindset on, how do you plan on, like, do you have any plans on how you'll get out of it if the temptation arises, or are you just kind of, or do you like, or someone you'll contact, like what's your plan as far as that goes? Or is it just kind of, is it just something that is a passing thought? Sorry, that's kind of a bit of a, like, a poking question, but,
I think I would, like, I have no, you know, plan of, like, I have to, like, you know, if that ever happens again, but I'll tell you this, like, if it ever happens again, like, I become addicted, I'll make sure I'll have someone to talk to, for sure. Like, I'll make sure I have somebody I can rely on, like, you know, my best friend, my sisters, or whatever. Like, I make sure I will be open towards it.
And I'll, it's like, cool that you can talk with your sisters. Like, that's
They're not judgmental as I thought they would be, but no, they're not like that, luckily. But yeah, I make sure I'll talk to somebody and not fear of like I said, of them judging me and stuff.
Right.
And so like, so yeah, I'll make sure I talk to them. Most definitely.
Cool. For me, I don't trust myself at all. Like, you know, it bugs the crap out of me. So right now I have covenant eyes on my, everything. And they're not sponsoring us. this isn't a Covenant Eyes ad. But I have them. I've done Accountable to You. I switched to Covenant Eyes honestly because they had the background phone monitoring. That they were the first to do it. I know Accountable to You does have it now, but Covenant Eyes got it first, so I switched. They're a bit pricey. For us, we've got the whole family on it. So it ended up being cheaper to do the bundle. Like they've got a family price for $15, but Nia Chen and I ended up doing it for $15 a month. Just for the two of us before we even had the girls with us, because, when it came to like, you had to pay for the screen accountability and you had to pay for, like the blocking. And then there was two profiles. So it was me and Nia Chen paying for it. So it was like $12. And then it's unlimited users for $16 with the screen accountability. So I was like, okay, whatever. So we've been doing, so it's $16 a month. And so, it's annoying at points. Because sometimes it blocks things that are just like,
oh yeah,
I want to bake cookies And it's just like, well, what do you mean by cookies? It's just like, geez, I literally mean I'm trying to bake some cookies here. So sometimes it'll block things like that that are just ridiculous and it gets really annoying. Mm-hmm. But for me, I don't trust myself enough to not have it. And I've questioned myself of like, okay, will I ever reach a point where I don't need this? As of now, I just don't know if there's a safe way to answer that and say yes. Because it's like, oh, I'm good now. But it's like, okay. Like you said, like, you never know when it's going to come back. And so I don't know if I'm ever going to be, I don't know if there's a way that I can say I'm good right now and not be arrogant. Or at least maybe not even just arrogant, as much as it would realistically just be arrogance. It would also be, I'm not prepared. And I just don't know if I'm okay with that because I've had such a terrible, just ridiculous trying to get out of this for 4 years. And it's hard. So I've thought about it. But as of now, I've got one person that I'm still in contact with pretty actively, at least once a month, month and a half usually is the latest where I don't talk to him. Anytime I do get close to screwing up or I feel like I'm about to, that's on my best days. Not usually when I feel like I'm about to, I don't call him, but sometimes I'm strong enough to do that. So I've got someone that I do talk to. It's been interesting as far as like the age that we live in, feeling like you have to, like the fact that it's just so easy to be exposed. It's literally everywhere. Like it's on the majority of the Netflix shows that come out are TV mature. The majority of the things, those TV mature have at least something. And so it makes it difficult for me as a TV junkie who I love watching the next in thing. Like I loved Westworld. Like I freaking loved that show. But half of the show is just naked robots. And so it's like, well, you know, so I haven't watched it since season one and I really want to watch it, but I just don't know if there's a way that I can watch it, you know, like, and luckily, like, I shouldn't even defend it. My defense in the argument of that was it's not really arousing because it's like an artistic expression of the show. It's not like sex scenes. Like there are some, but the majority of it's like that. But so that was kind of how I justified it. But even still, I'm just like, okay, like I'm doing okay right now when it comes to my porn addiction. Do I really need to watch naked artistic robots? And the answer is no. I just want it to be yes. And so it's really difficult when shows like that are constantly coming out where it's just like people are like, oh, you need to watch this. It's really good. And like, you know, my Christian friends, they're like, it's got a couple things, but it's okay. Yeah. You need to fast forward. And it's like, gosh, like how high do you hold the standard? You know, do you just plan on fast forwarding? Do you look in advance when that sex scene is going to show up so that you know when to fast forward? Do you have your wife watch the episode first? That's something that we haven't done, but like, you know, do you have someone go before you and then tell you the exact time? I have had someone do that for me when we were watching a show where, I had them watch it and then tell me the timestamp of when something would come. That was really helpful. Cause then there was like, that was my win-win where it's just like, okay, I can watch the show and I cannot be exposed to it. But the other question, like, and it's a good question. Well, what if you just don't watch the show to protect yourself? And it's like, and that's hard. Stinking hard. Because sometimes like the desire to watch certain shows is just too much. Like, you know, like I want to be in the know. I want to be in the conversation and the show sounds great. So that's really stinking hard. I don't know. Have you ever had to, like, have you ever chosen not to watch something that, because of that reason or, like, what have you done? Is that as much of a struggle for you as it is for me?
Man, I'm trying to see. Here's the thing. I watched this show. It was a Netflix show. I keep forgetting what it was. Like maybe last year, but it was like a whole season that I watched of it, and pretty much every episode was like naked woman having sex, all that kind of stuff. Right. So it got to a point where I like, you know what? This show might be cool, but I had to stop. There's no point of me watching it. Matter of fact, I don't even think the plot was even that good. So at that point, I was like, there's no point of me watching it to begin with. Right. So I watched that one season, and that was pretty much it with me. Didn't really care for it, so...
So let's just say the plot was really good. Do you think that you would have kept watching, or do you think that, and if you don't want to answer that question, that's fine.
I know that's a vulnerable question,
actually, but
no. If the plot was actually good, I might have said. That's a good question. That's just a really good question. I might have to say, up in the air. Because, like, it was a lot, but, man, I don't know, man. That's a good question.
Yeah. It's hard,
you want to stop doing it and stuff. Like, if you have shit in your mind, like, you know, you want to, like, you know, keep on, you know, thinking about that scene. Right. So, honestly, I'm going to have to say I'll probably still watch it. Yeah, I probably still watch it, honestly.
I think, if the story's good enough for me, unless it's so raunchy that there's no way I can get around it, I have found that is where my line is, where it's just like, okay, well, if the story's good, then I have to keep watching. And there's always that call to, like, is that really what you should do? Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that that's the voice that's there is a good sign that you know that it's not something that you should do. And I would say realistically that it is a compromise, and I think that that's probably part of the journey that I'm still on. Like, how much protection am I willing to do in advance to make sure that I'm protected? And this, like, and this for me isn't even like from a... like, it's not even just from like a... to follow the Christian rules, or like, it's just like, it's partly that because I was raised as a Christian. So like, to say that that's not there, like, of course it's there. Like, I had 20 years of being in church. There's no way that that's not in the back of my head, but, and not to say that it doesn't have its place, but there's also like, okay, well, one, I'm married. So, you know, there's that. And then there's two, like, look at how freaking hard you've had to work to get free of this. Is it really worth watching a TV show? And there's sometimes where it's just like, sometimes I say no and I'm proud of it. And there have been times where, like, a movie comes out that it's not even because the movie sounds good. It's because what I know the movie has in it, where I'm just like, oh
yeah,
I should watch that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know what I mean? And there have been times where, right, like, there have been times where I have avoided it. I'm trying to think. Let me even make sure, because there's been a lot of times where I haven't. Like, that's freaking hard. When I know it has the person in it that I want to see and the thing in it that I want to see, that has been a very tough thing. And a lot of the times it's just by happenstance that you just happen to see the trailer. It's like, geez, of all the trailers you had to show me, YouTube, why is this the one that pops up? Like, why couldn't it be the My Little Pony sequel? Why can't you show me that trailer? Why is it this? You know what I mean? Like, and so sometimes it's like, geez, but it's not like, you know, statistically speaking, you can't go through your whole life in this day and age and avoid it. So that means that you've got to make conscious decisions. And I get that. So I'm trying to think if there's times where have I actually avoided something that I knew, an interesting. I feel like I know that there has to have been, like, but maybe I'm wrong, because, like, I'm just trying to think of the times where I've it's definitely worth thinking about. But I mean, there, it's been, you know what, there have been shows. Yeah. I'm trying to think. There's shows that I have, I'm pretty sure that I've avoided. Okay. Point being, I don't need to stay on this forever. It, when stuff like that happens, it's hard because it's like, you know exactly the thing and the person that you're going to get, and you have to protect yourself, for whatever sake that you're trying to do so. And like, that is not easy to do because it takes, it's not even just protection, like the Covenant Eyes. It's like, well, I'm getting ready, like, because of this stupid trailer that I watched, I know that I would be willingly walking into a snake pit, and it would compromise me and I would fail. And for some reason, that still sounds okay. And so I think that because of the vulnerability of that, like, there's always that question of like, okay, you know, how much protection in advance do you have to build? Like, I guess one metaphor that I could think of is like the Dutch build their dikes for hurricanes and storms to last 10,000 years. And in New Orleans, they built it to last 100 years. And mm-hmm. So when Katrina came and it flooded the state, it's like, well, first of all, like I've heard that, you know, they didn't even build their dams even properly to that standard, but like there's probably a reason that the Dutch are still doing fine, and it's because they've prepared themselves to 10,000 years worth of storms. Like the best prediction that they can think of for what's the worst thing that could happen, and then they prepare for that. Like there's a sense of wisdom in that, in saying like, look, we are not going to be there's no what would you say? There's no being too safe. And I think that that's like the ideal place to be, where you can actually have that humility to say, look, I am probably not going to be good enough, strong enough to just turn my eyes every time. So maybe I should build some dams that'll last 10,000 years or whatever that actually correlates to with your protection of your sexuality. So I don't know. It's hard, man, but
like I said before, man, this is going to be an addiction that me and you both be in until day we die.
Right. You know, so,
which is crazy to think about, man, but it is what it is.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is. It's very, it's interesting, but it's kind of nice to actually have that in mind. Like the fact that like you have even thought of that, like I think puts you at an interesting spot, because you I think one thing that can be very discouraging when things are going wrong, like not even just like is the idea that it's like, okay, when are things just going to stop being this hard? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the answer is they're not. Mm-hmm. And so if you can get to that point where you're like, okay, maybe it's not going to get any easier. Maybe there's something that I need to do to fortify myself to make sure that I can stand up to that. I don't know that. I think you're in a really cool spot to at least have that idea in your head. So yeah, but do you have any questions that you wanted to go through, or anything that you wanted to talk about or mention on here before wrapping everything up?
Man. No, I got nothing. Honestly, no advice, no questions, nothing like that. Nothing I can think of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem, dude. Like I said, you know, I was honored that you even told me about this. You know, I'm the first one here to do this. So,
yeah, you're helping me pioneer it. Yeah, seriously, I do appreciate it. Like, I have no idea what this is supposed to be, but I do. You're a very important piece to it, because first, you're the first. But like, I don't know, I think that there's genuinely something important about the fact that we can have this conversation. So, thank you very much for just being willing to talk about it. Like you've said some things that were very personal, like mentioning your embarrassments is kind of, I mean, I appreciate it, you know, like it's not easy for people to do that. And so I whatever I can hope for, I hope that what you have shared and the fact that you have been willing to have this conversation encourages someone. So thank you. I very much appreciate it. So,
yeah, man, honestly, I was thinking like, should I say that story? I don't want to say that story. So it's like,
right.
Yeah, you know, so I was just trying to be real as possible, man. No holding back at all.
Right. Of course. I appreciate it. Well, we can wrap up. I'm going to stop the recording and, I'll give you an outro and, we can go from there. So once again, this is John Dima. You can find him on at Instagram at JohnDima57. Omaha Beef, if you are watching, first of all, thank you. But then also, you know, hit this guy up. He's extremely dedicated. He's been trying to do this for years, and he has probably tripled in mass since he was a teenager. So he's working and he's been preparing forever. I appreciate you, and you're the best, man. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.